Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Hey, hey, hey.
We are here.
Are we?
We are. I mean, so I don't know what I'm allowed
are
to say.
Though?
So I don't know what I'm allowed to say, what I'm not allowed to say. For audience, I want to say this is a first right now. What's happening right now is a first for us.
And I hope a last.
So typically when Alan and I tape, we're in the same room together. It's a great vibe, and we're recording the show together at the same time. Today, for the first time ever, that is not the case.
Yeah, no, we're in distant places.
We are in distant places, and not for fun reasons.
Your boy caught COVID,
Alan
y'all.
Alan got COVID. And
yeah, man.
What's crazy is, like, throughout the 2 years of the full pandemic, no COVID. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, Alan catches COVID, and he's had it for about a week. We did think, you know, like, we can wait this out, and, you know, eventually he'll test negative and we'll be able to tape. But to date, he's still testing positive. Yeah. So
first of all, I'm glad I caught it after getting vaccinated and boosted.
Word.
That's a good thing.
Word.
But what's crazy is my whole family had COVID like a couple weeks ago. And I'm the only person in the family that did not catch it. I mean, all of my kids, my wife, and my mother-in-law all had it. We were all in the same house. I was the caregiver, the cook, the bottle washer. I didn't get COVID. I don't know where. I don't know where I got it. I probably got it from
any streets
somehow.
No, in these streets. Tiffany doesn't have COVID. Tiffany has not.
I know,
not
but
had
you're
COVID.
A carrier. You're probably like a carrier.
I didn't even see you.
Carrier
I wasn't
pigeon.
Even around. First of all, for anybody who follows me on Instagram, I was in Napa, so I don't know how you got COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even on the same coast as you or the same time zone. So you got this out in these streets. And, you know, luckily, from my understanding, you're on the tail end of it. You had a bit of a scary moment, but you're on the tail end of it. And all jokes aside, I will be happy when this too has passed.
Aw, thanks, Tiffany. You want me to get a full recovery. I like it.
I mean, gosh.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Has it been horrible, though?
So thankfully, like I said, I'm vaccinated and boosted. And my biggest issue is I'm asthmatic. So I was really worried that it would get to my lungs. But thankfully, it pretty much stayed in my sinuses and my head. Like I had headaches, sore throat. It never got to the lungs. So it was very tiring. But thankfully, it didn't impact my breathing.
Okay. Well, that is good.
Yeah.
That is good. And we do.
And, you know, it's.
What else?
You know, it's crazy. You know, 420 was this week.
What does that have to do with you?
No, I'm saying, like, you know, people out here smoking weed, you know what I'm saying? And I really wanted us to do a 420 cannabis investment show. We got to do that in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we can do that. I thought you were getting ready to say something else, like you've been smoking weed.
No, no. Jokers are smoking weed.
I ain't talking about jokers.
Everywhere.
I was just asking about you in your COVID time. I wonder if people smoke weed while they have COVID.
Probably.
Do you think it makes things better or worse?
Like, absolutely not.
Just thinking about just your lungs and the smoke. Like, I get it. Everybody has a feeling about the natural chemicals and everything else. Just the smoke and your lungs. I wonder if it just makes things worse.
So, funny story. So, a friend of mine walks into a cannabis dispensary in a legal state, and he's like, hey, I've got a sinus. Like, my sinuses are a little bit off. Can you give me a strain that'll be good for my sinuses? And they're like, no. Strain for that. I think jokers think that, like, weed is the cure for everything.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think it can help with COVID. Maybe it'll help you go to sleep.
I guess.
You got to get some rest, but
I just wonder if it makes things worse. Like, for people who are smoking it, there's so many various ways to intake it now, but people who are just old school rolling it up and smoking it, does the smoke itself cause an issue with your lungs?
Yeah.
Not for me to know, not for me to find out. Just curious.
I don't think Fauci's had a statement about
that. Just curious. So, you brought it up, yeah. So I thought you were trying to reveal something.
Nah. Nope. Just people out here getting high. That's all.
Pretty much. That's not what we're talking about today. We're not talking about Alan's COVID. I do want you guys to know how dedicated we are to you, though, that it was never a thought not to tape a show. It was just like, how can we do this without Alan giving Tiffany COVID?
Word. Yeah. And without Tiffany probably giving it back to me again.
No.
She's a carrier.
I was a carrier. Whatever. I've never had COVID. This is my true story. If I had COVID, it was in December of 2019, before we knew what COVID was. In December of 2019, directly off a flight, I got insanely sick for 3 days straight. It was like really, really bad. I don't get sick often. It's not something that happened. I was horribly sick for 3 days. That is my only chance of having COVID. As far as like, I haven't been sick since. I've never tested positive. So again, I don't think I had COVID. And if I did, I had it before everybody. I was a pioneer. I was a pioneer in the COVID game.
You've been carrying it dormantly for all this time. But whatever. All right. So what are we talking about today? So we're talking about the fine print.
The fine print. It's a lot of fine print. You know what? There's a lot of fine print on a lot of things, and I think it all gets ignored. Like, the fine print gets the worst rap in history for anything. If there's fine print on your food, on your bills, on anything, we're just not going to read it.
Yeah, but we should.
We should.
The devil is in the details,
that
my G.
That is a fact. And so that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about the fine print, specifically around credit cards.
Yeah,
I know we bash credit cards a lot, and I genuinely do believe there's a place for credit cards. I do believe that probably everybody should own a credit card. I was very, 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 very late to the game. I just got a credit card a couple years ago, and that was by force. We do feel like there's a place for credit. We do feel like there's a place for debt. But credit cards specifically, I feel like, are the most improperly utilized debt offering and the most, I guess, like parasitic. Like, credit cards that tear your whole life up, especially when you don't read the fine print. So on today's episode, we're going to talk about some of the fine print that you've never read before, so you can't say, I didn't know all that happened, or I didn't know how that works. We all got credit cards, but we don't all know the rules.
Yeah. And it's a fact that we're not fans of credit cards. And, you know, I know you said that everybody should possibly have one. I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, the benefits of having one is like doing things like renting a car. Sometimes they make it hard to rent one with a debit card.
I think that everybody should have one. I just don't think everybody should use one. That's really what I'm saying.
Okay, I'm with you on that. Yeah, I will tell you that these credit card companies are playing games to try to get you in debt, frankly. You know, we did a show on credit the other day, and it just hit me. Like, these are for-profit companies that are giving credit ratings. And they get an incentive to like give you bad credit.
Here's the thing.
Because they can give you bad credit, then the lenders get to charge you more in interest. Like, it's kind of like the whole thing's a scam.
It's all a scam, rigged. And it's all convoluted. But there, in some capacity, the government has to be involved. And this is why. There's no reason these people should have access to all of our information. You know, somebody's got to give them access to our information, you know, as far as like what's associated with our social security number. I can't start a company tomorrow and say, because you know, we talked about doing our own credit rating. I can't start that company and automatically have access to everybody's purchases and debt history by just submitting their social security number unless the government gets involved.
No, but in reality, these are private databases.
No, facts.
I'm saying they just happen to use your social security number as the identifier. That's the government's involvement is kind of over at that point. Like, these companies, if you give your social security number and someone buys the data that has all your spending and credit usage. Like, that's, the government ain't got nothing to do with that.
What I'm saying is that data shouldn't be available to private companies.
Shouldn't. I agree.
That's all I'm saying.
Write your congressman, okay? But for now, we're talking about the fine print.
Yeah.
So here's what I've been doing. And I've been doing this behind your back, Tiffany.
What is happening behind my back?
Okay. So because we have a lot of different businesses,
yeah,
we get a lot of offers for credit.
I know where you're going with this.
I know that you don't want them. I keep asking you, hey, can we get a company credit card? You keep saying no. But I've been like just holding on to all the offers and reading them because I want to just be educated about what types of offers are being made.
So here's the backstory on this, guys.
Yeah.
So as Alan mentioned, we have a ton of businesses. Each of our businesses has at least one bank account, which means we're managing a ton of bank accounts and a ton of expenses. Yeah. Oftentimes, Alan has asked, hey, can we get a credit card just for at least one of the businesses? Not because we need the debt, but just in case of a variety of needs. My answer is always an immediate no. And I will admit, it's a slightly uneducated no. I just don't like the thought of credit cards. And, you know, even though we would be getting a credit card in the name of the business, they would need to run our personal credit, which I'm very pleased with where my credit is today, but I don't want that pull on my credit report unnecessarily. Yeah. And so that's why it's always a no for me. But as I see now, learning that Alan is trying to build a case behind my back.
For the listener's benefit,
okay,
I've been accumulating files of credit card offers because I want to educate the people about the tricks that these companies are trying to pull.
Let me explain something to you guys. Alan ain't never accumulated a file in his whole entire life.
Come on.
Ain't there never been
Cut the tape.
An accumulation
Stop.
Of a file. If you've ever
no, hold on.
Been to our office, it's just paper. It's just shit on Alan's desk.
There's all kinds of files being accumulated. That's a system.
There's no files. There's none of these. It's hoarding. There's hoarding of random papers. But there's never been an accumulation of a file. So now that we know you've been out here sneaking, let's talk about what you've been finding.
All right. So here's some of the examples. So we got an offer and, you know, this was actually eye opening. I'm like, wait a minute, a sign up bonus of $750.
Oh my God.
Tiffany, maybe we should do this. But then I got to reading and it said, you get the $750 if you spend $3,000 on the card in the first 3 months and you use your points to buy travel specifically through their online travel agency.
Right.
Where I'm sure the prices are high.
This is already too much. This is already too much work. Like, you got to spend all this money. You got to get points, use the points. You got to be traveling in COVID on a specific airline, and then we'll give you $750.
Yeah.
We do get these pieces of mail. And by we, I mean us and our listeners, you get these pieces of mail around these credit card offerings. And it does sound sweet. They're offering quote unquote free money and all these incentives. I'm telling you right now, it's never free. It's never, ever free. And so this is the type of fine print that we're talking about, these underlying requirements and expectations for you to get what turns out being a small bonus on the back end.
Yeah. And you, like I said, you might have overpaid for the travel, buying it through their travel agency. So here was another one. Now, this one got me. Like, they sent me, like, or us, really, Tiffany and I.
My name wasn't
and
on
I kept it.
I don't, if I ain't open it wasn't mine.
Okay. So they sent us a letter saying that we got a 0% balance transfer offer for 18 months, meaning you pay zero interest for 18 months.
Okay. Now, question, before you even tell me the fine print.
Okay.
Balance transfer. So,
like, if you've got a credit card somewhere else.
So I need to have another credit card somewhere else with debt on it. And what they're saying is just instantly transfer all that debt to us.
Yep.
Like, please have debt elsewhere. Please have credit card debt elsewhere that you can't pay off. And then transfer it to us where you also won't be able to pay it off. Okay.
Well, they're going to give you a break, though, because 0%. It was funny. A lot of our listeners who reach out to us at momentum-advisors.com, they're coming to us and we're talking through their financial picture. And we ask about credit card debt. And they say, oh, I've got credit card debt, but I've got a 0% offer.
For how long?
No, so here's the catch, though. Like, they'll legit give you 0% for 18 months, but the fine print that I did not know until reading these offers, they all have a balance transfer fee of like 3%.
You just said it's a 0% balance transfer. I know
it is, but they hit you on the front end. They're going to automatically tap you with a 3% fee the moment that you transfer it over. So if you transfer over $5,000 of debt, you get 0% on the $5,000, but they hit you with a $150 fee on the front end.
For moving it.
Balance transfer fee.
Balance transfer yes. fee.
It's where they get you. It's not free.
It's not free.
They act like it's free.
It's in the fine print. Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
All okay. Right. All right. Another now, one. Yeah, give me some of these other ones because I know I get credit card offerings often. I don't even look at them. I throw them in the trash. But now you are opening my eyes to some of the gimmicks that they're using.
The tricks. Okay. 5% cash back on groceries.
What? Was this a Stop and Shop credit card? What kind of card? Is this a grocery card?
A regular Visa, MasterCard.
So is the
5% cash back on groceries.
Is the hook that you got to, you know, shop at a specific grocery store at a specific time? You can only buy pasta.
Here's the catch. Okay, for one, they cap it at $1,500 a quarter.
That's a lot for groceries.
Well, for you as a single person, family of five.
Are y'all spending more than $1,500 a quarter on groceries?
Yeah. Wow. Absolutely.
This is how you know I don't have people in my house, because that sounds like a year worth of groceries.
Yo, I cannot walk into the grocery store without spending between $100 and $200, and that's like almost every week.
Wow.
Yeah, see? Absolutely.
I don't even know.
We could easily be dropping
in
a month.
This is the card y'all need, so.
No, but here's where they get you. It excludes groceries at Target, Walmart, Costco, Sam's Club. So you can't buy discount groceries. You got to buy full price
Aldi.
Groceries.
You can go to Aldi, I guess. I mean, this one doesn't sound as bad. Like, first of all,
I know, 5%, but they get you.
5% cash back on grocery spending is a couple coupons. If you really just open up your circular, you can find enough coupons to equate to 5%. Of your total grocery spend, to be honest with you.
Facts. That's a fact.
And then it's capped at $1,500. So you're only getting but so much, right? But the fact that you're limited to, you just can't use Target, Walmart, or like Costco, I don't think that's that bad.
They're trying to get you.
Because you could use Whole Foods. You can use Whole Foods.
Spend $1,500. Yeah, you'll drop $1,500 at Whole Foods.
What about, you probably can't use a bodega. Like, how is it classified? How do they know your local bodega is a grocery store?
Yeah. All right, here goes another one. So this one like really, really like intrigued me, because this came from Citibank, and they said, look, we'll give you a cash bonus just for opening a checking account. Like, no credit. No credit card, no personal loan. Okay, we'll give you either $200, $400, $700, or $1,500 if you open up an account and just fund it with the minimum balance.
Okay. This seems fair.
Guess how much the minimum balance is to get the
$1,500? $5,000.
$200,000!
Are you kidding me? If you open a bank account with a minimum balance of $200,000 cash,
yes,
you'll get a bonus of what?
$1,500.
No, that's you could put that in the market. So anybody who is even considering anything like this, put that money in the market, put it in your retirement plan. You will get more than what they're offering. So I will tell
these
you.
These offers, they sound good at first till you start doing the research.
And reading the fine print. So I will tell you, I opened a new bank account probably like 2 or 3 months ago. And it's a bank that I like. We use this bank for a lot of our businesses. And so I wanted to have a personal account with them and a private bank relationship with them. And so I'm opening my account, and she's like, hey, are you going to be doing direct deposit? And I was like, no, you know what I mean? Like, as an entrepreneur, my pay doesn't work like that. So ain't going to be no direct deposit. I didn't say that to her, but I was like, yeah, no, there won't be any direct deposit. She was like, well, what's the chance that you'll do direct deposit in the beginning? I said, 0% chance. Like, I'm not doing direct deposit. Why are you asking? And she lets me know if I sign up for direct deposit, if I receive some sort of direct deposit payments into this account, I'll get like $750 in cash just for setting up direct deposit. Like, not even setting it up, but just receiving direct deposit into this account. And so
that's,
I said,
a pair of nice shoes.
And I said, wow, that's awesome. But I don't receive direct deposit payments. And she was like, well, we're just going to act like you are. And
okay,
right. Sure. Word, right? We're just going to act like you are. And if after 3 months, you will receive this $750. And if you don't do any direct deposit payments, don't worry, then you just won't get the money. Right? I'm like, okay. She's like, you never know what may happen. So if you get any direct deposit payments within 3 months, you'll get the $750. Sure, lady. No harm, no foul. Do you know, the next week, I went into my online banking dashboard and the $750 was already there?
Good.
No, not good. So then I called her to let her know. And she was like, oh, yeah, I know I said you get it on the back end, but you actually get it up front. And so if you don't have any direct deposit payments in 3 months, we take it out of your bank account. That is a setup for failure for someone who's not paying attention. For that money to be in your account, again,
but if you use it, they could take it away.
Yes, no, they are going
now
to take it
overdraft.
Away. Exactly.
Now you're an overdraft.
That was such a setup crazy. For failure. I told her, I said, I think that's predatory. And that is a way to get people overdraft so you can collect overdraft fees. I was very clear that I wasn't going to have any direct deposit. She forced this on me anyway, making me think that in the case that I did, it would reflect after the fact. I checked my bank account. It was already in there. I would have spent that money, and then 3 months from now,
got your shoes repossessed.
I'd have had mad overdraft fees if I wasn't paying attention.
Just taking off your feet.
They're not going to be taking off my feet, but I'm going to end up paying for that.
Yeah,
that was also a setup. By the way,
this same checking account that I mentioned with the $200,000 minimum. If you go below 10K, now they're hitting you with $25 a month in monthly service fees. Like, there's so many free checking accounts out here.
Yeah, I was going to say, is common. That is super common, where if you don't keep a minimum balance, they'll sell you on all the perks of a particular type of account. Oh, this is the checking platinum. You know, this is the savings, you know, prestige. And oh, you get free calls and free wires and all these nice little things and a very pretty card with your dog's face on it and all these things, not telling you that if you don't keep a minimum balance, which is oftentimes fairly high, you're going to get charged.
Facts.
That's the fine print. This is the fine print that we're talking about. It's not just in credit cards. It's in bank accounts. It's literally almost in everything you do. Every purchase that you make, there is fine print that could hurt you. So you need to pay attention. But if you haven't paid attention to date, keep paying attention to this episode, and we're going to talk about it some more. We'll be back. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring Black and Brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
So we're back.
We are back.
We're talking about the fine print. Okay.
Because Tiffany just got her shoes, her red bottoms repossessed.
Oh my
and
God.
We don't want you to end up like that.
No one's repossessing red bottoms, right? But in reality, reality, like you said, you see an extra $750 in your account, or you probably don't even see it. We talk oftentimes that people don't even look at their online bank account. They don't look at their statement. They just look at the balance. So you see this money in there and you're like, oh, I could go out tonight. I could buy some bottles, or, oh, I can go shopping, or I can, you know, pay extra on that bill, you know, try to try to pay off this debt. And then 3 months from now, you find yourself in a hole where
they done pulled the rug from you,
taking that money out plus all the overdraft fees that come along with it. And I can guarantee I'm not going to receive an email or a call saying, hey, Tiffany, just so you know, that $750, we're going to be taking that out tomorrow. You're not going to get a heads up. It's going to rip it away from you.
Yeah, that's a fact. So we've got to talk about where to find the fine print, because like jokers need to know where to look.
In the mail. You got to open your mail.
But let's go deeper. So let's go deeper. So if you're looking for a credit card offer online and it says apply now, there's also going to be a little box you got to click that says terms and conditions. It might say important rates and disclosures. It might say pricing or offer details. You've got to click those links and you've got to go deeper to figure out what are all the catches, what are all the different ways that they're trying to get you.
Now, a lot of times you do have to check off on these terms and disclosures, but we just scroll. You just scroll real fast to get down to the bottom. Like that's where all the fine print is. That's where all these details are. It's in that box where you're just scrolling to get down to the bottom and check things off to move on to the next page. But that's where this information is. And I know it's a lot. Like I agree. It's a legal document, so half the times we don't really know what it's saying, but still it could hurt you. I've got a really quick story, and this happened to you and I this week. So you guys know that we bought a couple of businesses in Indianapolis a couple of weeks ago. Now, you know, we bought those businesses in March, you know, April came and rent was due.
And she's giving all our business.
I mean, rent is due every month. So so we're paying the rent, no issue. And then one of the landlords comes back and she literally says verbatim, I don't know how I missed this, but in the small print of your lease, you guys actually owe me a security deposit broken down across 3 months that's actually now due. Can you pay it all to me right now? What's the first thing I did?
Lord Jesus.
The first thing I did was
sent Alan an email like, what the hell?
Exactly.
Did you know about this?
That was exactly what happened. I forwarded to Alan.
And my first was funny. When I first got, I was like, oh, hell no. What are they trying to pull? Then I was like, oh, wait a minute. I did ask for that.
Correct. I didn't even know. It goes to show you, like, I didn't even see the fine print. I didn't even know that was in there. And after talking
so happy
it,
to have a business.
I mean, right. That's a fact.
Didn't even read the lease.
But that's everybody. You're so happy to have a car. You're so happy to get a mortgage. You're so happy to, you know, to buy anything that you skip over the fine print. And after talking to Alan about it, it makes complete sense as to why we did it that way. And we actually did it that way so that it would benefit us, not the landlord. But I didn't pay that any mind. That wasn't anything that I was thinking about. Just, oh, let me just pay my rent and I'm good to go. And that's what happens, especially with credit cards. Let me just pay my bill. Let me just pay my minimum balance. Let me just pay what they're asking me to pay. And that's it. Lo and behold, that's not it.
Yeah, that's a fact. So here's some things that you should look for. So if it's a marketing document, they'll give you the little asterisks or the little dagger, the little cross. That ain't Jesus on the cross, okay? These are little indicators that you need to go and find the footnote that describes the qualifier for that offer. And then if it's a printed offer, flip it over on the back. On the back is where you're going to find something called the Schumer box.
I don't know. No Schumers.
Chuck Schumer?
You know
You never heard of Chuck Schumer? Of course. Chuck Schumer, the senior senator from New York.
Oh, my God. No. When was he the senator? I live in New Jersey. First of all, I haven't lived in New York in 10 years.
You know Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer is one of the leaders in Congress.
Got it. So he got a box.
So he's a box. Senator now. Mm-hmm. So Chuck Schumer is a senator now. But back in 88 when he was in the House.
In 88. I was six.
He's still the man right now. You don't pay attention to politics at all if you don't know Chuck Schumer.
I'm definitely paying attention to what's happening with student loans, but don't nobody know nothing about a Schumer box.
Okay. 88, you were, okay. I was trying to set it straight in 88, okay? Okay. I was paying attention, okay?
Okay.
So Yeah, my older brother graduated from high school in 88.
Damn.
He tagged everything, every wall in our garage, 88, any piece of paper he wrote, 88, time to set it straight. This was the era of Big Daddy Kane.
Yeah.
So
I was six.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Chuck Schumer was out here protecting us. And so he passed legislation that required disclosure of a table. So they have to put a box around it. And in the box, it has to have things like the APR. If it's a 0% offer, how long is the offer good for? Are there balance transfer fees? Are there other fees? If you get a credit card offer, you want to flip it over and look for the Schumer box.
Okay. You know, that sounds like that Schumer had bad credit and he was sick of being taken advantage of. And he was like, y'all going to have to highlight this. Like, I'm tired of getting got. Put some lines around this so that I know exactly what I'm looking for. That's the only reason anybody would do that. Now, I appreciate it, but it definitely...
His eyesight was bad,
too. Yo, he got too many times, and he was like, yo, put a box around it. I swear if y'all don't put a box around it, I am going to sue. So I guess I appreciate the Schumer box.
That's hilarious. But real talk, so I do think that congressmen and you know, the people in government, they make these laws, and I think they then think about how it impacts them. Because it was funny, in Jersey, you remember when we got all of these cameras on all the intersections?
Yeah.
And people were getting red light tickets in the mail for running red lights and whatnot?
Correct.
And did you know that magically in New Jersey, they just stopped giving out tickets after a while?
Oh, no. It wasn't magically. I remember reading an article. This didn't last 9 months in New Jersey. Now, like, we spend a lot of time in Baltimore and Maryland where red light tickets clearly fuel your entire economy, because that's all y'all do is give out red light tickets. New Jersey thought they were going to do this. And after 9 months, the state of New Jersey was like, we're not doing this. Like, this is not happening. And I am clear that it's because everybody, all the politicians, all the people who made these decisions were getting too many tickets. Yeah, we immediately took them cameras down and was like, that's not going to be a thing here.
I bet you what really happened is there was some congressman thinking he's slick.
Mm-hmm.
He got his boo in the front seat. He got his hand on her thigh. You know what I'm saying? Driving through the red light. Photo came with the ticket. Now we got some explaining to do, Lucy.
Listen, that's,
and he's like, look, we gotta shut this down.
That's a
this
bit of a scandal. But I'm telling you, Schumer, I guarantee you he probably got and like his credit was bad. And honestly, I think across the board this needs to be a bigger lesson. I think if you're gonna be in Congress or any type of political body where you have a say in laws and regulation, they should have to do an annual credit check. And
yeah, I've read that a lot of congressmen have bad credit.
But that just goes to show, like, if they're responsible or not. And here's my thing. I don't think you should not be able to be in these positions if you have bad credit. I think that if there are, because you're talking about Schumer, who's been around since 88. I feel like every year they should do a credit pull. And if there are major changes in a negative way, that should, like, put them on alert. Like, tip them off that, like,
susceptible to getting bribed.
Word.
You know what I'm saying?
And making poor decisions financially. And like you said, it's susceptible to any type of maybe ill-gotten financial gain, but it should say something about who you are if you're not following what's in the Schumer box.
Okay, which is why I'm not ever going to run for Congress.
Listen.
Because I don't need my business in the streets.
So I'm going to say something.
I like being a private citizen.
I'm going to say something really quickly. You guys may not know this, but so many people are always saying to Alan that he should run for some sort of political position.
People say that to me?
Oh my God. Yes. They say it to you. They say it to me like, oh, you're probably going to run for something one day. And Alan literally, he is so against it. And I get why they say that, right? Like, and I'll tell you why. Like, I get why they say that to him and they never say it to me. No one ever says that, like, oh, Tiffany, you would be great in a political position. Because everyone's very clear that I pop off. Like, I pop off. I have no regard for, you know what I mean? Like, if you want to get feisty, I want to get feisty, too. Like, I'm not one of these charismatic, like, let's just, we are the world. Like, you can get smacked real fast, well before Will Smith. But Alan is like the people pleaser. He's so charismatic. He's so good with like smoothing
Thank
things
you,
over.
Thank you. Keep going.
But Alan always says no, and that's because y'all, he been checking these Schumer boxes. He not about to let y'all run his credit.
Oh my God.
Alan is not about to let y'all know.
I'm not showing my tax return. No, that's a fact. I'm not showing anyone my tax. I don't even want to look at my own tax return.
You're not about to be interviewing, you know, people from Alan's past and asking his business. Yeah, mm-hmm. He's not letting yep. any of these things happen. So
no, but you know the number one reason I don't want to be in politics? You know that when they're running the smear ads and they have the picture of you and your mouth is like, you got a funny look on your face and you got peanut butter in your mouth and like, do you want this man representing you in Congress? I would be so embarrassed. I'd be ready to fight someone. So yeah, my skin is not thick enough to be.
That's true. Public that is like true. That.
So,
for sure.
All right. So I'm going to stay in podcast land. Y'all don't know what I look like.
Oh
okay?
my God.
Y'all Except know how
for
I sound.
Full social media. Except for full yeah, on Instagram, Alan is boom boom for real, and then on Facebook, he's just Alan Boomer. First of all, you're on TV damn near weekly, and
oh my God,
so everybody knows what you look like.
Yeah, I will tell you a really strange thing. So I'm on a train like about 6 months ago, and I'm trying to figure out how to get my ticket to show on my phone, and I'm struggling, and I'm talking to the train conductor, and she's like, Alan? I'm like, huh? Because I have a mask on, I got a hat on, I'm struggling with my phone, and she recognized my voice from not the podcast, but from SiriusXM satellite radio, and she smoothed it over. She gave me the time. She showed me how to find the ticket on my phone. I was like, okay, I like this.
I thought you were about to
say voice recognition.
Like she smoothed it over and just let you on a train. And I was going to say, that's exactly why you can't be a politician. You are accepting favors
that's
so easily.
That's a bribe.
So easily. No more.
She definitely charged me. Oh, she charged
okay.
me.
Okay. Sure. Shout out to Sis then for doing her job, not letting you get her in trouble.
Okay, so let's get back to the fine print. Thank you very much. So here are some of the things to look for in the fine print. So the first thing is around rewards. So people are often saying, I just use my credit card for the rewards and I'm getting all of this stuff for free and I get to go here and there. But the rewards have a lot of fine print. Like the fine print on rewards is pages and pages. The things to look for on reward cards, you've got to understand how does it work. So for every dollar that you spend, there's a percentage of that purchase that benefits you in terms of rewards. Maybe it's frequent flyer miles. Maybe it's a cash rebate. Maybe it's some combination. But you've got to look for things like what are the caps, okay? Like I talked about with the grocery purchases, they might cap a category at a certain amount per month or per quarter because after you get above that cap, you're not really getting the same reward rate. You've got to look at eligible purchases. You know, are there certain purchases that are excluded from accumulating rewards points? You want to look at, are there merchant category definitions? Are there restrictions on travel? You know, there's a lot to really look at with these rewards. And I think a lot of times we just think that all reward programs are built the same and they really aren't.
So I'm curious, and I guess I'm just asking because I know this is the case with lottery. Are you taxed on the reward value? Because if you win like a sweepstakes or some sort of giveaway where you win a free trip to wherever, the value of those trips and those prizes is considered your income.
Yeah.
And you are taxed on those things.
Absolutely.
So if you win a free car, right? Say you win a $50,000 car for that tax year, there's an additional $50,000 of income that is added, and you have to pay on that $50,000 of income in that tax year.
For sure. So Tiffany, it's so interesting that you ask, and thankfully I've done the research, okay?
Oh my God.
Generally, the IRS categorizes redemption of credit card rewards and frequent flyer miles as non-taxable.
Good.
Instead of seeing them as income, they view it as a rebate or a discount.
That's awesome.
On something that you purchase. So it's just like coupons.
Just like, okay? Sure. Well, that's awesome. But
follow me for more tax advice.
Oh my God. No one's following you for tax advice, especially since you won't show nobody your taxes.
Yeah,
but
no, I can't.
That is the fine print that's associated with some of these prizes and giveaways, to the point where people have gotten hip to this and have not accepted the prize in a variety of instances. Again, if you win a trip to, you know, Las Vegas and it's $30,000, if you're only making $40,000 when you file your income tax, you have to now file with that additional $30,000, almost double your income, and you have to pay the taxes on that.
Mm-hmm.
What's crazy is I did not find this out until years after I was doing giveaways. So you guys know that I've worked for a couple of notable individuals in really large brands, and we would give away cars and trips, come party in New Year's Eve with Puff, like come do all these things. I did not know that the value of the trip, what it would have cost for them to pay for this trip and experience outright, including the bottles, the VIP service, the flight, the hotel, all the perks, everything gets added up. That value is then tacked to your income for that year, and you have to pay ordinary income tax on those things. That is the small print. That's the fine print.
Yeah. So we were planning to do a Momentum Advisors podcast giveaway, but
if we were ever doing a giveaway, it wouldn't be enough for you to need to file it. I know that much. You would be fine.
Fine. All right. So let's keep talking about the fine print. You know, we talked about the rewards programs. And these rewards, again, they just have a lot of fine print. They've got ways that you forfeit your points if you don't use them in enough time. There are certain specific portals you might need to use to be able to redeem the travel. There are minimum redemption amounts that say, for example, you have to get your cash back in increments of $25.
What?
You know, so again, yeah. No. Yeah, they will say if you want to claim your cash back, you've got to do it in $25 increments. And so you might be at $24.
Dollars at a time? Or like it has to be a multiple of $25? Because what I'm hearing is like, here's your $25 today. I'm going to hit you back tomorrow with another $25.
No, it might be like weeks, months later. Like there are catches on these things.
Wow.
You might have accumulated 100, but they're going to give you 25 and then holler at you later.
Oh my God. So you can't, oh, I get it. So like you can only attach like $25 at a time to the redemption.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is getting more and more petty, more and more petty. But here's the thing. We're making light of it and it is petty and it is a bit ridiculous. But the reason why they're doing this, the reason why they're making this so difficult or so confusing is to get more money out of you. It is not for your benefit. It is for their benefit.
Oh, they're not doing it because they love you.
Yeah. What ways can we give as little as possible or get as much as possible without them really realizing what's going on or making this, as arduous of a task as necessary? All of these things are solely to put more money in their pocket while you're over here thinking, I'm winning. I got a little bonus. I got a little couple hundred dollars. While they're making thousands of dollars off of you.
That's a fact. So we should go to break.
Okay. So we have more fine print to talk about. Stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom. It's leading to the North
Star. What's up, North Star family? This is Donnie Rose, and I'm excited to let y'all know about the Word Life Podcast, the latest podcast in the North Star Network that I am hosting. Each week on Word Life, I will be exploring the intersections of literary art, music, politics, and revolution, and unpacking the messaging, lyrics, and themes of poetry and music, both classic and contemporary, that function as the heartbeat, baseline, and bottom line for radical change. Be sure to check out episodes of Word Life, dropping every Thursday wherever you enjoy podcasts, and let us know your thoughts. Peace, creativity, and revolution.
So we are back. We are talking about the fine print. The things we get involved in, but we're not paying attention to the rules, kind of the behind the scenes and the things that can hurt us and that are predatory to us in a lot of our purchases.
Absolutely. Because, you know, Jesus had no fine print.
What?
But these credit card companies do.
What are you talking about? First of all, the whole Bible is fine print because ain't nobody reading it. So I guess maybe it started there.
Jesus' offer is pretty simple.
Clearly,
okay?
Fine print has been an issue since day one, because Eve wasn't reading it. Like, so clearly,
I know, but I'm saying
this has been our downfall.
Jesus paid the charges. He paid. It's all paid.
But you didn't know what the charges were unless you read the fine print.
That's a fact. So let's go back to these credit cards. So when it comes to these low interest rate teaser offers where they say they'll give you 0% or they'll give you like 3% for the first 24 months, you've got to realize that, and this is whether you're buying furniture with one of these offers or a credit card, if it's 24 months on day 24 in one day, like, they're going to hit you for all the interest for that whole period at a higher rate often.
Yeah, so that's the one thing,
especially
that I don't
on those purchases,
anybody really pays attention to. They think, you know, after this, you know, period of time, at that point, all purchases moving forward will be under a specific interest rate. And that is not the case. They are going to get all of their back interest since day one if the balance is not paid off.
That's a fact. So other things to look for is fees for late or missed payments. Like, this is, you know, like a way for them to get extra interest, really. Like, we talked earlier about overdraft, but if you miss a credit card payment and they hit you with a $28 or $39 fee, it could be a really small amount that you owed, but now you're really adding significant penalties, significant interest in the form of missed payments and
now,
fees.
Listen, you can't be having no interest and not making the payments. At that point, you deserve all the fees and the taxes that come with it. Golly, like, they're not even taxing you for the money and you still don't want to pay it back?
Yeah.
Listen, you gotta do something right.
Yeah. So other things to look for is cash advances. This is like one of the biggest scams on credit cards. Like, you'll get a credit card and they'll just send you these checks that come with your statement. And it's like, hey, if you want, you could just take this and just deposit it straight on in your bank account. What they don't tell you is this, the moment that you put that into your bank account or the moment you use it to pay a bill, you don't get that 30-day grace period. Like with credit cards, if you spend money on, let's say, May 1st and you pay the bill before May 31st, you didn't pay any interest. If you're using those checks, if you're taking a cash advance at an ATM, the interest clock starts to tick immediately, number one. But number two, they often have an even higher interest rate on cash advances, and those checks would count as a cash advance.
That sounds so messed up. Like, again, there's a set of rules. And again, this is just part of understanding the rules that apply for your transactions, like your traditional purchase transactions, are completely different from the rules that apply for cash advances. You automatically assume that, you know, all dollars spent are created equal, and that's not the case. And so the grace period that you get in being able to have a little bit of time to pay off your purchase is absolutely forfeited when it comes to these cash advances.
Yeah. You should really not use the cash advance unless you're really, really in a jam. Like, I think there's some people that like to have access to cash, but when you really think about credit cards, they're not really giving you money. They're giving you like purchasing power. It's a difference. Like, so if they're giving you actual cash, then they want to hit you even harder.
I have a question. Have you ever done one of these, like cash advances on a credit card?
I've never actually done one.
Okay.
But I had fraud on my account. And the way I knew it was fraud is that it had all these cash advances. I'm looking at my wife's credit card and I'm like, cash advances? So I went to her, I'm like, yo, are you taking cash advances on your credit card? She's like, no. We immediately knew that it was fraud.
Wow.
You know, you don't have to be all that financially sophisticated to know that's a bad idea, especially to be doing it on a regular basis.
Yeah. And I was asking because I'm curious as to how it works. Like, do they?
Oh, you can go to an ATM
with your credit card, and then you don't have and use your regular PIN number and get cash out?
they give you instructions on how to get a PIN number, okay? Or there's these checks. You can take one of those checks to a check cashing place or take it to your bank and deposit it.
So this is not judgment and this is not shade, but this sounds like a very complicated way to oftentimes get a couple hundred dollars. Like, even when I've seen these cash advance offers, it's never for like tens of thousands of dollars, right? It's for like a couple hundred dollars at a time. If you are in a place where you are needing to do cash advances on your credit card, there's a bigger issue. This is not a fine print issue.
It's a warning sign.
right? You are spending above your means. You're in a tight spot. Like, something needs to change dramatically, whether it's expenses or making more money or being more mindful of your purchases. But that is a warning sign that you are going in the wrong direction. Fine print aside.
So yeah, we're almost out of time. So I think we've talked about a lot of great things for folks to look for. You know, again, not a big fan of credit cards, but if you are going to get one, you've got to really, really read through the fine print. It doesn't matter if you didn't understand it. Like, you're still liable for the fine print in these agreements, whether it be a credit card, whether it be a loyalty program. You're responsible, a checking account. So again, the moral of this story is that the large print giveth, but the small print taketh away.
Wow.
And you've got to really be paying attention to that fine print.
One last thing that I'll add is that, like, this notion of fine print really does apply to everything in life. It, as Alan mentioned, it doesn't just apply to your credit cards. It applies to any purchase. It applies to bank accounts. It applies to even just your engagement in retail stores. As business owners, people reach out to us so many times because they're frustrated about the way a particular transaction goes. And I'm like, if you would have just flipped over the receipt, you would have understood the rules of how these things work. There is fine print all around us. When you receive mail, don't automatically throw away these pieces of paper that don't benefit you. Like, if it's a bill or a statement or an offer that you are participating in or already engaged in or considering, if you're going to consider it, then you need to be responsible for reading all of the pages that come with it.
That's a fact.
That's a fact.
Because we don't want you to get got. And I'll tell you, these credit card companies, it's a game. And their game is to try to figure out a way to trick you into getting into debt so that they could steal your net worth and make billions. Like, it's a billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar industry is credit cards. And we want you to be smart. We want you to be protected, because money that goes to the credit card companies is money that is not going to your heirs, not going to build your net worth. So be smart.
Perfect way to end the show. We'll be back next week, whether Alan has COVID or not. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I will not have COVID next week. I'm Alan Boomer.
We're the Momentum Advisors.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's Essential Prenatal Multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.